Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, New Orleans? What's up across the Gulf South? And what's up to you listening wherever you are at WWL.com, the WWL radio app, and the brand new radio.com app. Get that in your app store if you haven't, so you can connect with us all day long, live or the podcast version. But we're going to talk a lot of Saints minicamp here. We've got Steve Court coming up at 8:40, and a lot of sound from Sean Payton, Alvin Kamara, Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach, and more. But I have to ask Tim Zimmer, our studio producer, to start it off with this. I saw you up. I want to say it was because we're night owls with the show that we do. But apparently you were watching until about 2 a.m. yesterday. What was it, a raccoon on the side of a building? What was going on here?
Yeah, in St. Paul's, apparently a raccoon got loose, and it climbed up a building 30 stories tall, and they couldn't rescue it. The animal control said they're going to have to let Mother Nature take its toll. Either it falls or it makes it to the top, and they catch it. And apparently it was up there for over 12 hours. It climbed. It stayed up.
Wait, where was this? Where was this?
In St. Paul's, Minnesota.
Wow.
And it just climbed 30 stories. Then it came back down halfway. And then eventually, I want to say at 4 in the morning, it made it to the top, and it was rescued.
Okay, first of all, poor raccoon. I have nothing but love for this raccoon. I don't want PETA after me here. Nothing but love for the raccoon. But this is what we're worried about all day long, is one raccoon in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. That is what captivates us as a nation now.
I did post on Facebook. I was like, I'm currently watching a 2-hour live stream of a raccoon climb a 30-story building.
Yeah.
2018 is so weird.
Yes. 2018 is so weird. So weird. You know what else is weird? There was something, and I'll get into this more, and now we're going to put it way off in the back burner here. But I will say this. Tim, what are your thoughts on short shorts? No, right? You're part of my generation here. Most millennials, I say most because apparently it's not everybody from what I'm seeing, we were the long short generation. We didn't want to have anything to do with short shorts. When I look at these young Saints players, Marshawn Lattimore, Alex Anzalone, Von Bell, a bunch of others, Alvin Kamara, not as much, but sometimes he's out there in them. They're all wearing these John Stockton-esque short shorts. I don't know what's going on. It confuses the heck out of me. I've talked to many people about this. I feel like I need therapy because I don't know what's going on. But that is an obvious trend here, and it's not just with them. Short shorts are back. Did you ever think, Tim, we would reach the day where short shorts are back?
The last time I saw someone wearing short shorts was at like a frat meeting or something like that. I was never in one, but I do know the frat guys love the short shorts.
The only time that I was ever in short shorts was I was on varsity basketball. The only time I ever played JV basketball was the first half of my freshman year before I got called up. And we had like the old uniforms from the early 90s, and they were really short shorts, and nobody wanted to wear them. We wore like the long spandex under them. Very uncomfortable, and that was the last time I ever got near short shorts. But apparently they're back. So watch out. Just a warning to everybody out there. You know, speaking of Alvin Kamara here, wasn't in short shorts today, although we've seen him in short shorts before. He's probably having the best camp of anybody outside Drew Brees. And I'm not just saying Drew Brees, by the way, because it's Drew. No, he's having a sensational camp. Remember last year when we were talking about Drew and we're like, yeah, he's missing some throws. We're not, but it's Drew. Don't worry. And yes, we didn't really need to worry. He was fine. No, this year, Drew is lighting it up. He's as good as I've ever seen him in minicamp. And also better than he was last year is Alvin Kamara. He has been the standout guy. And the one reason we haven't talked about him more is because we expect big things from him. And when he does thing like catch the over-the-shoulder throw yesterday from Sean Payton, we go ooh and ah, but we're talking more about Taysom Hill's missed throws. We know one guy who still wants to talk about Alvin Kamara all the time, his head coach and probably his biggest advocate, Sean Payton. Tim, you got it? Sean Payton cut. And Kamara's still learning some nuances here. It's just his second year. One of the areas that he could get a little bit better at is protection and also some things off the audible. But, I mean, we're really nitpicking here. That's what we're talking about with Kamara, because just physically and really in the offense, the way he was utilized last year, he's just been sensational. And what we've seen from camp so far, it's been sensational. But Sean Payton also went on and explained, yeah, he's still learning a couple of other things inside the offense. And they're going to be asking Kamara, a lot of Kamara, I should say, in Mark Ingram's absence. I'm still wondering. I know Jamal Charles is in today. There's reports they're going to bring DeMarco Murray in, which I've said really for a month and a half they should actually do to try to bring a veteran presence in that running back room with Mark Ingram out. But the one thing that concerns me a little bit is just, they can't overuse the guy. It just concerns me, but Sean Payton is a much smarter football mind than myself. So he knows as well, hey, Kamara has never been asked to be the workhorse guy anywhere in his career. He's never been asked to be the guy who carries 15, 20 times a game. They're not going to ask him to do that for four straight weeks with Mark Ingram out. And Kamara was asked today, hey, himself, how do you think you're going to be utilized here? What do we expect from yourself when Mark Ingram's out those first four games? No, he doesn't feel any pressure, and he shouldn't. And here's a little more Kamara sound. He was talking about his preparations, year two, how is it different from year one? Kind of, you know, cliche stuff, but here's how he answered it. You know, some athletes, I just don't really like listening to them talk for whatever reason. I think they're just full of cliches, and you don't really get anything from them. You can tell they're kind of nervous and behind a microphone or in front of a camera. Kamara's not like that. Really, he's just charismatic is the word that I used for him. I could listen to him talk all day. Here's one more from him talking about how he's going to play with confidence this season. It's Alvin Kamara again out at Saints camp today. And just, this is why this is radio. It's such a great medium. Play that clip. I want you to listen. Forget that Alvin Kamara has the nose ring and the long hair, and he's kind of goofy, right? Especially when you look at him. You don't think that, okay, this guy is very detailed. He's very analytical. He's very smart. But he is. Listen, it's not the guy that you see when you see him visually. Again, radio does a very good service to this. Listen to Alvin Kamara here again. He's very introspective. Very smart. We're going to love watching this kid for a very long time in the NFL, and hopefully for a very long time here in New Orleans. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite players in the National Football League. It's no joke. Got to take a quick break here. What do you think? If you're out at Saints camp today, I'd love to hear from you. And even if you weren't, What are you taking away from everything you're hearing and seeing and reading and viewing about Saints Camp? 504-260-1870. That's what this show is about. It's for you to sound off. Let's hear from you, Saints fans. 504-260-1870. You can text me at 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is Double Coverage, just getting started tonight on WWL. Joe just got done talking about how good Alvin Kamara looks here at minicamp, and he really does. He is the star that he already is, but everybody thinks he's going to continue to develop into. We got Steve Kort coming up in about 15 minutes. We've talked about this next topic here off and on this show, but I don't really think we or other people are talking enough about it. And that's the new kickoff rules in the NFL and how that might change that play for the better. Everybody, usually when we talk about kickoffs, it's all about, oh, when is the NFL going to outlaw kickoffs? When is football no longer going to have that play? Well, that might be coming eventually. But right now, today, with these new rules in the NFL, and there was a lot of them that were approved by the owners last month, this play all of a sudden, I think, becomes extremely exciting. Just to recap a few of the rule changes, there's no running starts by the kickoff team anymore. You got to have five on each side of the kicker. There's a setup zone of 15 yards for the return team. You got to have eight guys in that box. You can have three guys behind it, but eight guys must line up in that box. So you're going to see all sorts of new strategies with this from both the return team, but also from the kick team. If you're the kick team, you're not getting the running starts now, but you're also not seeing the wedge blocks downfield, and you also see eight guys in that setup box. Again, you have a multitude of options here. You can do things like sky kick to the corner. You can do more squib kicking maybe over that setup zone. Certainly becomes more viable. And what about onside kicks? I was standing next to Bobby Hebert, or it wasn't Bobby today, maybe it was Steve and Christian. And a couple of other guys. Oh, you know who it was? It was Sean Kelly. Sean Kelly and Sharif Ishak were talking about the kickoffs as we saw them working on a little bit today. And they were doing some onside kick drills. We're like, are we going to see more of this? Are we going to see a lot more of surprise onside kicks in the NFL? And my answer would be probably yes. A couple of reasons for that. First, I think kickoffs, if you're the return team, all of a sudden get a lot easier relatively to what they used to be. I think you're going to see some big spikes in long kickoffs and kickoff returns for touchdown this year. Special teams coordinators are really going to earn their pay. So on the opposite side of that, not only because of the setup zone that you have now, but also because of, hey, kicking the ball deep becomes a lot more dangerous, I think that you'll see, and look, Sean Payton's been known to do this, a lot more surprise onsides throughout the year. I think Will Lutz has proven that he can do that pretty darn well. We saw that a couple of times today. And I'm just very interested to know how this is going to work out. I think preseason, there's not a lot of much must-watch football in preseason. I think this year, kickoffs become, in the preseason I'm talking about, must-watch football. You're not going to have teams give away everything. Of course not. They're going to go deep into their special teams playbook. But I want to know just the basics of this and how it changes. And you know who else is really excited about this? And he's talked about it multiple times when we've asked him after OTAs, and now that we've asked him after minicamp, Sean Payton. Sean Payton thinks that kickoffs now become even more of a critical part of NFL football. And there, when he says that, he was responding, I think, to a question from Ed Daniels about sky kicks, about kicking into the corner, high kicks where your coverage team can get down and you don't leave that receiving team a lot of options. But I also think if you're the receiving team here and you have a standout returner, and this is one area where right now the Saints don't have that standout guy. And in fact, really quickly, here's Sean Payton, number six, Tim, about them not having a returner in place yet. So the Saints don't have that star returner in place. Guys like Devin Hester comes to mind. Even Darren Sproles was pretty good at it. The Saints don't have that. Now, some teams do. Some teams have that electric returner where all of a sudden they become even more valuable. Chunk yardage on kickoffs. And I think if you see teams with guys like that, I don't think you're seeing a kneel down for a touchback almost ever this season. Not with these rules. No way. If you've got a guy that can consistently bust one open 30, 40, 50 yards, or maybe even for a touchdown on the kickoffs, you're going to see them start returning it from 8, 9 yards deep. I firmly believe that. So out of everything that happened this offseason, free agency, draft, new helmet-to-helmet rules, ejection rules, of all the in-game changes made, this is the one that will change the game the most in the short term this year. I think it'll have just about as much of an impact as moving that point after attempt try back to the 15-yard line. It's gone underreported because it's not sexy having five guys on each side of the line and no running starts for the kickoff team. It's hard to sell that as sexy to fans. It's hard to be short and concise and the NFL release something and say, hey, this is going to improve the game. This is going to improve the play. But I'm telling you, it is, and I'm really, really excited to watch it. Got to take a break for CBS News. When we come back, though, I got to ask the question, where in the world is Michael Thomas? Can't guard Mike, can't find Mike, indeed. He was not at minicamp again today. That was Alvin Kamara's day after Saints minicamp practice. Welcome back to the show. It's Double Coverage. I'm Seth Dunlap. Tim Zimmer behind the glass. It's WWL. So he was there. He's been fantastic, like I said. The two standouts for me, and this isn't sexy, but I think it's true, are Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees. Mark Ingram has been there. He's been pretty good also. He scored a touchdown in the latter part of practice in their two-minute drill. The defense was not happy about that. There was also a flag that was thrown, a couple of flags today that I think the coaching staff was scratching their heads about a little bit as the officials were there on the all of them. Well, I think that's a positive, by the way. But one guy who wasn't there that we're still wondering about is Michael Thomas. Wasn't there again today. The team and Sean Payton says it was an excused absence, as it was yesterday. But that doesn't tell us much. That just tells us that they know where he is and what he's doing. But what it doesn't tell us is if Michael Thomas is hurt. That is the only, I don't want to say it's the only plausible explanation because it's not. He could be dealing with some personal stuff, certainly, that we're not aware of. So it goes back to what I was saying yesterday when I said speculation is dangerous and you got to make sure you separate speculation from opinion or fact. So this is just speculation here about Michael Thomas, okay? This isn't fact. I don't know anything. But speculating here, it certainly makes sense that Michael Thomas is dealing with some kind of injury. This is mandatory minicamp here. And he hasn't been there, one of your most important offensive pieces. I certainly hope everything's okay with his family. But nobody knew that he was going to be absent. Hasn't been over there. And the wide receiving core is a little bit of a mess right now. Cameron Meredith, Tre'Quan Wright, Brandon Coleman are all have not been fully participating in practice. They've been off to the side. Michael Thomas isn't there. So that's allowed guys like Tommy Lee Lewis, who's had really a fantastic camp so far. You can't make a roster at this point of the season, but you can certainly help your case. And Tommy Lee Lewis, who was on this team last year and shown a couple of times in different spots, he's certainly helping his case. But you don't have what could be your three or your top four wide receivers participating in practice right now. Hasn't hurt Drew Brees. It's helped the other guys on this roster. So just something to keep an eye on. I don't want to, again, no fact here. I don't want to speculate because it could be a personal issue. It could be something with injury, but we're getting no clarity on this. And it just worries me more than a little bit. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, my concern meter is right at about a 5.5, 6. Because if it was something that wasn't too critical, I think we would have heard about it. But also, if he's dealing with family issues, we also wouldn't have heard about it. So that's the one out that I guess we have. I'm sure we'll find out soon. I just obviously, the dreaded scenario is, okay, all of a sudden in a week and a half, we hear Michael Thomas is dealing with a serious injury, and all of a sudden he's out for an extended period of time. That would change the trajectory of this team significantly this year. So we'll wait and see on that. Hey, as we go to break here, I told you the officials were out there today. Sean Payton had a couple of moments with the officials. He wasn't too happy about them. Here's him, cut eight, Tim. Sean Payton on the official. That was Sean Payton after today at practice talking about just how deep the defense is, and especially the defensive line. There's a story up I wrote right now at WWL.com about the defensive line embracing really big expectations in 2018. We got some audio and some quotes there from Tyler Davidson, who was an unheralded big part of the interior of that defensive line last year, especially late in the season. Let's go ahead and bring in Steve Courtnow, former Saints offensive lineman and co-host of Saints First Take on Saints game days. Steve, welcome back to the program. How are you, man?
Good. How you doing, Seth? You okay?
Yeah. I'm great. I'm a little sunburned from being out there today. Mark Menard saved me a little bit, but
sure, me too.
Yeah. So, what before we get into the nitty gritty of this, just top down bird's eye view of this, what's your thoughts on minicamp so far?
Yeah, you know, about like I expected. You know, you got a lot of guys in there. You know, the influx of not only the new talent, the draft class, but you know, also the free agents and you know, the tryout guys that you got coming in all the time. But I will say this, that for the first time in a while, you can certainly see that there's a lot of depth in a lot of different positions, which is so paramount in this league, especially, you know, as years go by, you notice that there's certain positions from time to time that get absolutely decimated injury-wise. And that, you know, speak last year. I mean, offensive line last year was decimated, and Rauscher did a great job of plugging those guys in, and those guys never missed a beat. But the fact that he's going to have a cornucopia of talent at this point at that position should make things a lot easier.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, we talk about this every single year, or at least the last few years since it's become relevant. I think we're all still trying to figure it out. And that's these non-contact rules and how they've kind of changed the game here in the offseason, OTAs and minicamp for the interior linemen, offensive linemen and defensive linemen. How is it how are you coaching up those positions now with no contact? And how in the world, Steve, do you evaluate anybody properly?
Well, you can do a certain number of things. Obviously, you can really, really focus on the mental part of it, which is what we do. But at the same time, you can also focus on footwork. You can focus on hand placement. A lot of technique stuff that you can really go over with, really having to go full speed. Now, all those things kind of get thrown out the window when you begin to put gear on. So what you hope to do is get people's, you know, technique honed enough to where they're at some point going to be able to carry that over to where the pads come in. And then once that comes in, there's just some minor changes you have to make. But you can get a lot of work done doing this, but there's still a lot of contact. It's a little bit of a misnomer there to say no contact. I think it's because there's not really any, you know, nobody's wearing shoulder pads. It's kind of what it is. And I think that, you know, they're kind of basing on that because really, you know, one-on-one pass pro and inside drill and things like that, there's still a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of pushing and pulling and tugging that you could say there's anything, but it's contact, but not in their sense of it. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of limited contact, I guess would be correct, a better way to describe it.
Right.
You know, Marcus Davenport, he's learning the three technique. He played two in college for most of the time, and he's dealing with that hand injury. Have you seen anything from him? He's still – raw is not the right word. That's just kind of a catch word everybody uses. I don't think it's raw, but you can still see that he's learning. I mean, even from the sideline of the vantage point I have, Steve, you can still see that he's learning here at the NFL level.
Well, he's not on the clock as another guy. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are sort of in that same position, you know, from the standpoint of being pretty green when it comes to being, you know, NFL ready. That doesn't mean that he's not going to be. You certainly can tell that he's got all the tools and all the things that you look for in somebody that's going to come in here and, you know, contribute a lot. So, look, I know he's had a little bit of a setback with some issues and stuff, but and make no mistake about it, I've seen enough of them to know that, you know, it wasn't like they, boy, you sure missed on this guy. I mean, this, look, I know we're just running around in underwear out there right now, but you can tell that, you know, the guy can sort of pick this up to where he feels a lot more comfortable, you know, each day that he's been out there. And it's been pretty limited at that. So,
is that a big change, Steve? Is that a big, steep learning curve, the two to the three technique?
You know, a two technique is really just your head up on the guard.
Right.
That's no big deal. A three technique is your outside, your outside shade, your three shades, what they call it. But no, it's really not. But it also depends on what kind of scheme they're talking for. Now, I almost envision him being an end from a standpoint of being, you know, either a seven or a nine technique, you know, depending upon, you know, what's going to happen. That's not going to mean that they're not going to put him in there. But, look, we've got a bunch of guys, a bunch of big, thick dudes in the middle right there that are flat getting it done. You know, Rankins is coming into his own and really is going to be one of the better, you know, nose tackles around. And Tyler Davidson, you mentioned him earlier. You know, there's a lot of – they've got a handful of guys in their alma mater that are really just providing such not only depth, but at the same time they're really sort of holding their own as starters. You know, and these guys are now coming into their, you know, some of them are in their third, fourth year type kind of players, second, third, fourth years. This is really when these guys are really going to be starting to hit their prime, and you're going to see that. The fact now that the linebacker core is what it is, I haven't seen as many linebackers in a long time that, I mean, it looks like we have an airplane full of them out there. There's just a lot of linebackers. And a lot of them, you know, Stupar's coming back from injury, and you know, you've got Manti and Klein coming back from injury, and then Anzalone coming back from injury, and then with a new guy coming in, DeMario coming in. That's a deep position now to where that was, again, that last year we were, man, if we got one more guy hurt in that linebacker position, they were going to have to move up a safety, you know, to sort of fill in that will spot from time to time. So, it's nice to have that at this point, and you certainly know that you're going to have some attrition, and you hope not too much of it.
Steve Court here on Double Coverage. I'm Seth Dunlap talking about Saints minicamp. Steve, what do you make of Michael Thomas's mysterious absence here? Apparently excused absence, but two straight days nowhere to be found.
You know, I saw him over there, but I know he hasn't practiced or anything like that, but you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, was he? Did you see him there today? Okay, I hadn't heard that.
No, I saw him there on Monday. But okay. But nevertheless, I just think that again, I don't know what's going on, and obviously they haven't told anybody for good reasons. But I wouldn't read too much into it. I mean, he's still our number one wideout. There's no question.
Oh, for sure. I guess we're not looking at. I guess the dreadful scenario that I'm worried about is, hey, all of a sudden next week they tell us it's a serious injury or something with Thomas, and they come out with that.
Well, that would be, I'd be shocked. I mean, I saw him walk into his car. I'd be shocked if he had some sort of serious injury, but again, who knows? But I mean, it's just the same thing as, like, you know, Cam not being there. You know, he's had some, you know, birth of a new baby and whatnot. You know, those are excusable things at this point, but you know, hey, that's, if it's time to do it, it's time now, you know, and until we get down to, you know, training camp here in another, 6 weeks or less, I guess. Six weeks from now, I guess we're going to be right back at it.
There's no off season anymore, Steve. I feel like I was just literally talking about the Minnesota game right after it, about yesterday. That's how what it feels
like. Well, you know, I agree with you, but in a way, I'm sort of, I'm kind of glad. You know, I'm just and again, to me, if I think it's, the world is a better place when it's football season. It just is. But maybe that's just me. But I think a lot of people think that same way, and I think a lot of things go better when it's football season. So, look, I love hockey, and we just watched a great, you know, my wife and I, we had the advantage to go up to Washington this year. We got to watch the Capitals play, which is one of my favorite teams, and sure enough, they ended up winning the Cup.
First time, you know, man. Ovechkin, so, yeah, got it done.
And so it's been really fun to sort of watch that. But, I mean, and there's not a lot of people that are really interested in hockey down here, and I understand that, but man, I'm telling you what, it's still not football. So
okay, can we finally turn Steve Court on to soccer as the World Cup starts? Can we get you on to that?
You know, I tell you what, I'm a passive, interested party. Let's say that.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's hard for me to watch something for 3 hours and it's 0-0. You know, and not only that, the other thing, I can't stand it. It's when somebody gets knocked down, they act like they shattered their femur.
Yeah.
And then they pop up and immediately they're completely healed and they seem to be okay. And
yeah, that's a plague that's infiltrated the NBA too, by the way.
But it's just so blatant and so just over the top that it just, you're just like, well, did he even get cut? Well, no, but he's going to act like, you know, his leg is completely torn off his body, you know, and magically it just appeared back on and he's okay.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
Play just, some more in the game.
Yeah, just look up YouTube. You can find whole compilations on that kind of stuff.
They actually carry guys off.
I know, and then they come back. No, you're right. It's on a stretcher, on a literal stretcher.
And I'm thinking, man, this guy's, they're going to take him straight to the hospital. What's wrong with him? You know, and all of a sudden, nope, there he is. He's popping out, running around again. He's fine.
Our studio producer, have you seen the magic spray that they use for soccer? They, like, spray their leg, and all of a sudden they're back in? It's incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, before we let you go, here's a text from the 504. A cornucopia of talent, tell Steve Court that's the most cerebral I've heard anybody on Sports Talk Radio in 10 years. Congrats, Steve. You're on your A game today. So there you go.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment, considering.
Steve, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll see you out of camp tomorrow again, man.
Pleasure's all mine. Bye.
All right. Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman and co-host of Saints First Take on Saints game days every single Sunday morning or whatever day the Saints may be playing on. Yeah, the magic spray, Tim. I forgot about that. That's true. I could spend hours watching those fake injury videos. And the reason I call them fake is because they are fake. Like Steve Court just said, faking them. The magic spray. What actually is that magic spray? Do you know?
I know it makes it go numb for like a few seconds. It's kind of like the stuff you put in your mouth for like when you have a toothache.
Okay, like what is it? Not cortisone.
Something like that. It makes it numb for a second, then you're good.
Okay, well, we need that for you. You're having some back issues tonight. We get a can of that spray sprayed under your Saints polo here. So you rock. I don't see you rock the Saints polo too much anymore. Usually you got the Cubs gear on. It's summer. Little Pelicans red. He's rocking the black Saints polo. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about Saints camp. We'll have some sound for you. And our WWL opinion poll tonight, as we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but you can start voting on this. Can the Pelicans win a title if they don't land LeBron James this offseason? Can they win a title if, as expected, LeBron is not suiting up for the Pelicans next season? A simple yes or no. Log on and vote at WWL.com, or you can vote on the radio.com app. We'll be back in a flash. It's Seth Dunlap Double Coverage on WWL. Show great stuff from Steve Court just a little bit ago. If you missed it, find it on the podcast. Tim will have that up probably sometime in the next hour. Hey, Tim, give me a quick update on our WWL Now opinion poll about if the Pelicans can win a title if they don't have LeBron James. Simply yes or no. Next hour, I guess this will actually be an hour number three, we're going to talk a lot about LeBron James. And it is, from a selfish media standpoint, the summers of LeBron, and this was the third one when he's entered free agency, or had a chance to here, assuming he does opt out like we all expect. These are fun. Gives us something in these long months of summer. There's no NFL, no NBA, just Major League Baseball, but we don't have a team down here. No college athletics going on. It bridges the gap. And it's going to be so much fun to talk about this. We already speculated earlier this week my top three choices for the cities LeBron James lands in no particular order here, Philadelphia, Houston, and L.A. And I think everybody talks about the Lakers. I do think that the Clippers have a real shot to land LeBron here too, not just the Lakers. You got to think LeBron James is looking at Lonzo Ball and that entire Ball family mess and going, I don't want any part of that. We'll see. You know, Sean Devaney, who is a frequent guest on the program, he works and writes for the Sporting News. He wrote today that his sources are telling him Houston, not a likely destination for LeBron James for a variety of reasons. Cap issues, quality of life and living issues for LeBron's family. His words, not mine. It'll be interesting. Now, the dark horses, by the way, I don't think there's any chance that he goes to Golden State like people are talking about. I don't think there's almost any chance he's back in Cleveland. A lot of people do. I don't. LeBron James cares too much about legacy, too much about rings and the chase for championships and the chase of Michael Jordan and his six, which I don't know if he gets there now, as he only has three in his nine title appearances. So maybe his perception on it has changed a little bit here. But if he wants to win, it's not going to be in Cleveland. It's not going to happen. Another place that I think a little bit of a dark horse candidate to land LeBron, San Antonio. I throw New Orleans in the dark horse list, but does LeBron really want to bring his family down here? And I know he wouldn't necessarily have to do that. The way the NBA works, he could kind of commute. I don't know. New Orleans a very, very long shot here. Right now, 75% of you saying no, the Pelicans cannot win a title if they do not land LeBron James this offseason. I'm kind of with you there. I don't know how anybody gets by the Warriors, but if anybody does, it'd be somebody like the Pelicans with a roster in place that if they add LeBron would put them over the top. We'll take a break for news. When we come back, we got to talk some LSU football. Christian Fulton appealing his suspension. We'll talk to Ross Dellinger about it. And there's new redshirt rules from the NCAA. Interesting.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.